Text number 15, correct? यो भीष्म कर्ण गुरु शल्य च मुष्वभ्र राजन्यवर्यरतमण्डलमण्डितासु अग्रे चरो मम विभोरतयूथपानाम् आयुर्मनांसि च दृशा सह ओज आर्चत् यो भीष्मकर्णगुरुशल्य च मुष्वदभ्र राजन्यवर्यरतमण्डलमण्डितासु अग्रे चरो मम विभोरथयूथपानाम् आयुर्मनांसि च दृशा सह ओज आर्चत् यः इट् इस् ही ओन्ली भीष्म भीष्म कर्ण कर्ण गुरु द्रोणाचार्य शल्य शल्य चमूषु इन् द मिड्स्ट् आफ् द मिलिटरी फैलांक्स् अदभ्र इम्मेन्स् अराजन्यवर्य ग्रेट् रायल् प्रिन्सेस् रथमण्डल चैन् आफ् चारियट्स् मण्डितासु बीयिङ्ग् डेकोरेटेड् वेद् अग्रेचरः गोयिङ्ग् फार्वर्ड् मम आफ् मैन् विभो ओ ग्रेट् किङ्ग् रथयूथपानाम् आल् द चारियटियर्स् आयुः ड्यूरेशन् आफ् लैफ् आर् क्रियेटिव् एक्टिविटीस् मनांसि मेण्टल् अप्सर्जस् च also drusha by glance sahah power ojah strength archat withdrew translation purport by his divine grace is bhaktivedanta swami prabhupada shri prabhupada ki it was he only who withdrew the duration of life from everyone and who in the battlefield withdrew the speculative power and strength of enthusiasm from the great military phalanx made by the Kauravas, headed by Bhishma, Karna, Drona, Shalya, etc. Their arrangement was expert and more than adequate, but he, Lord Sri Krishna, while going forward, did all this. Purport. The absolute personality of Godhead Lord Sri Krishna expands himself by his plenary Paramatma portion in everyone's heart, and thus he directs everyone in the matter of recollection, forgetfulness, knowledge, the absence of intelligence, and all psychological activities. As the Supreme Lord, he can increase or decrease the duration of life of a living being. Thus the Lord conducted the battle of Kurukshetra according to his own plan. He wanted that battle to establish Yudhishthira as the emperor of this planet. And to facilitate this transcendental business, he killed all who were on the opposite party by his omnipotent will. The other party was equipped with all military strength, supported by big generals like Bhishma, Drona, and Shalya. And it would have been physically impossible for Arjuna to win the battle had the Lord not helped him by every kind of tactic. Such tactics are generally followed by every statesman, even in modern warfare. But they are all done materially by powerful espionages. military tactics and diplomatic maneuvers. But because Arjuna was the Lord's affectionate devotee, the Lord did all this himself without personal anxiety by Arjuna. That is the way of the devotional service to the Lord. We are reading from the chapter, the Pandavas retire timely, where the series of verses we are reading are very important verses. Because for a practicing devotee to gratefully remember the Lord's mercy and the Vaishnava's mercy that appears in one's life in various ways is very important. Here we find Arjuna is given an opportunity by the Lord himself to understand that the potency that he exhibited as a great warrior in archery, that potency actually was an empowerment of Krishna. And Krishna has been with the Pandavas all through, right from their birth, all through protecting them in all the different types of circumstances in which they were put in, most difficult circumstances. All the previous verses we were hearing, they are all talking of one incident, how Krishna protected the Pandavas from various types of dangers that came across their way, and how Krishna gave Arjuna the empowerment and strength to tackle them. Like for one example, Arjuna, while talking to Yudhishthira, will tell him that, you know, I am the same Arjuna, and I have the same chariot, and I have the same Gandiva. But when I was bringing the queens of Krishna, they were stolen by some infidel coward men, and I could not protect them, although I had the same bow. I don't know where my power was gone. I was rendered powerless. So there is a Puranic story which talks about how once some of the apsaras from heaven, they served Ashtavakra Muni very faithfully. And Ashtavakra Muni became very pleased with them and gave them blessings that you will all get the Supreme Personality of Godhead as your husband. So they became very joyful and very thankful. After saying this, when Ashtavakra Muni was passing away from that place, because he had 8 turns, twists in his body, his walking was also very peculiar. So the girls could not resist their laughter. And they giggled and laughed. And immediately Ashtavakra Muni turned back and returned again and said, because you teased me, you laughed at me like this. So he cursed them that you will all suffer separation from the Lord, and you will be taken away by rogues and thieves. In this way you will all be cursed. So then they started weeping, and again they served Ashtavakra Muni very faithfully. Again he became very appeased in his anger, and then told them, don't worry, the Lord himself will become a thief and steal all of you. But I cannot take back my curse, he said. And then so, after Krishna returns to the spiritual abode, the queens of Dwaraka are being carried by Arjuna. He's supposed to give them protection. But Krishna himself becomes highway bandits, thieves, and takes back his queens. At that time, Arjuna was not aware of that. But Arjuna found himself rendered powerless. So he is telling Yudhishthira that, you know, now I can understand. Lord gave me the empowerment. And the Lord took back that power from me later. So in this way, in this series of verses, one by one, he is remembering. And here he is saying, it was he only who withdrew the duration of life from everyone, and who in the battlefield withdrew the speculative power and strength of enthusiasm from the great military phalanx made by the Kauravas. So the Kaurava army had many great soldiers. Regarding this, Parikshit Maharaj also is speaking to Sukadeva Goswami in the 10th canto. There's a famous verse where after all the battle is over, now Parikshit is the ruling king, and Parikshit is hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. So he is telling Shukadeva Goswami this famous verse. He says, Pita Mahame Smara Amaram Jayai Deva Vrata Adya Atiratai Timingilai. He is saying, Pitamaha means my five Pandava grandsires. For him, they are grandfathers. Yudhishthira, Bhima, Arjuna, Nakula, Sahadeva. These five grandfathers, Amaram Jaya means they conquered those fighters who can easily conquer demigods also. Like Bhishma Pitama, Drona. These kind of people, they have conquered demigods in battle many times. But my grandfathers could easily win over them. And he says, Devavrata Adya. Adya means, along with Devavrata, Devavrata is Bhishma. Along with him, there was Drona, there was Karna, there was Ashwatthama, and all these great soldiers. So, Dushasana and all of them. So, Atirataihi, Timingilai, they're all great commanders in chief, and they are like Timingilaihi. Timingilai means, one Timingilai can swallow huge sharks. Huge whales. Timingala is the biggest whale. It can swallow other whales also. So they are compared to that. He's saying, Duratyayam Kaurava Sainya Sagaram. Kaurava Sainya Sagaram, he said. It's like a vast ocean of the Kaurava Sena. And all these great Timingalas waiting to devour all the opposite enemies. Kritva Taran Vatsa Padam Sma Yat Plavaha. So he's saying, my dear Lord Krishna's lotus feet is like a boat which helped my grandfathers to very smoothly cross over the Sainya Sagaram of the Kauravas and cross over exactly like as if it was a Vatsapadam. Vatsapadam means like a water contained in the hoof print of a calf, as if it was so small. So easily they crossed over it and they were not devoured, just like the big fishes devour the smaller fishes. So big warriors, they swallow the smaller warriors. Very easily. Similarly, men of great prowess, they can subdue men of lower prowess. But I find that my grandfathers were very easily saved by the Lord himself, whose feet are like a boat. Just like the other verse says, in the 10th canto, 14th chapter, there is another verse. Samashitaye padapallavaplavam mahatpadam punya yasho murare. There it says, those who have taken ashrita, some ashrita, ye padapallava plavam. Those who have taken shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, for them this vast material world becomes like a water contained in the hoofprint of a calf. And not only that, their goal is not to continue to suffer in this world. Their goal is the parampadam, the Vaikuntha, where there is no danger at every step, where there is always eternal happiness. So same way, here Parikshit is recollecting how his grandfathers, although they had a smaller army, they had less power, still they could win over such great generals like Bhishma and others. And also another incident he is recollecting. Dravnyastra viplushtamidam madangam santana bijam kurupandavana. So the last child, the Shishu in the Kuru and Pandava race was only Parikshit. Santana Bijam Kuru Pandavana. Dhraunyastra Viplishtam Idam Madangam. My body was attacked and burned by the Dhraunyastra, the Brahmastra sent by Drauni, who is Ashwatthama. And my body was almost finished, burnt. But he says, Santana Bijam. And then he says, Jugopakukshim Gata Ata Chakra Matushchameya Sharanam Gataya. My mother, Uttara, she took shelter of Krishna. And because of which, Jugopa Kukshi, he protected by entering into the Kukshi or the Yoni. He entered into the womb of my mother and taking the chakra in his hand, building the disc and the gada, Lord was going around my body and protected my body. So very gratefully, Parikshit is remembering the protection given by Krishna. Then, after saying these two incidents, one about his grandfathers, one about himself, and in all the situations how Lord protected. Then he's asking Shukadeva Goswami, Viryani tasya kilate deha bhajam antar bahischa Purusha Kala Rupai. This verse is very relevant to today's context because here he is saying, Viryani Tasya. I want to hear about the great transcendental activities of that Supreme Lord Krishna. Who is Viryani? Akila. Akila means for the entire world. Deha Bhajam Antar Bahischa Purushah. He is inside the heart as Antaryami of every living being. And he is also externally without in the form of Virata Purusha. In this way, he is practically everywhere. And he is also a Kala Rupa. He is also the time personified. Prayachato mrityumuta amritam cha maya manushyasya vadasva vidvan. Here he says that Lord Krishna, he is the cause of mritam or amritam, both. He is saying he is the cause of death of every living being, or he is the cause of eternal existence or immortality. One may attain immortality by Krishna. Krishna may offer death to some and immortality to others. So, here we can find Parikshit Maharaj saying that let me take shelter of that Krishna. Why? Because he not only protected my grandfathers, he protected me also from the womb, while I was the womb of my mother. So, when he is about to die, he is thinking there is no better work to do than meditating on Krishna. Because there is no protector better than him who has done such great feats. In fact, Parikshit is already a pure devotee, but he is talking of these examples for convincing the reader of Bhagavatam or convincing the other people. There are so many sages and saints who are not pure devotees in that assembly. They are transcendentalists. So he is giving this, quoting these examples that there is no better shelter than Krishna's lotus feet. That is why he is offering these examples. And also he is saying not only those who are Krishna's devotees attain the spiritual world, but even amritam is offered for people like Kamsa also, who think of Krishna in enmity. Even for them Krishna has offered liberation. So who can be a better person to take shelter? That is his question. So saying like this, he says, let me hear about the transcendental activities of that Krishna more and more. Then Sukadeva Goswami starts speaking varieties of pastimes of Krishna in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So in the same manner here, also it is explained that the speculative power and the strength and the enthusiasm of the Kaurava Sena was taken away by Lord Krishna's potency. Krishna had taken that away. Like you will find in Mahabharata how Krishna arranged everything in such a wonderful way that the Pandavas can win. For example, Karna, you know, tells a lie to his guru, Parashuram, because of which he gets a curse that he cannot remember the right message at the right time during the battle. He will forget some of the mantras that he learnt. He gets a curse like that. And Krishna goes to, he goes to also Karna, and he sends Indra for getting the Karna Kundal, isn't it, of Karna. From Karna also. Similarly, Krishna sends Arjuna to get the five arrows, fetch the five arrows from Duryodhana, which were actually given to him by Bhishma Pitama. Similarly, Krishna is telling Yudhishthira Maharaj to tell a lie to Dronacharya that your son has died. So when Yudhishthira Maharaj, who is the personification of truth, truthfulness, and he tells that Dronacharya sits in meditation, and then he gets killed in the battle. So in this way you will find Krishna making suitable arrangements to defeat the Kauravas throughout the battle of Kurukshetra. For a common man, these kinds of diplomacy, diplomatic maneuvers or military tactics can be very bewildering for a common man. That is the reason why even before studying Mahabharata or such kind of diplomatic maneuvering and everything, one has to understand the supremacy of Lord Krishna. It's very important to understand. Actually, for Krishna, he can just take one chakra and the whole battle will come to an end. If he takes the Soshin chakra, because Soshin chakra is also Kala chakra. If he wants, he can bring the whole world to a halt. He doesn't have to do any of the activities that we hear in Mahabharata. And Lord has that power. He is the one who is the creator of the whole universe. He is the one who is the annihilator of the whole universe. Everything emerges from him, is maintained by him, and enters into him at the end, as said in Srimad Bhagavatam Chatushloki. Isn't it? So that being the case, what is the difficulty for Krishna to finish the whole battle in one moment? Why does he perform all these different activities? Like we find, Lord Krishna is sitting in his court and Narada is visiting there. So Narada also has come to give some kind of invitation. He's waiting to meet Krishna. And there are some spies who have come to report on behalf of the kings who are arrested by Jarasandha. They are coming and giving report to Krishna and saying that all these kings are arrested in the jail and they all want to be relieved. They are requesting Lord Krishna along with his army to come and kill Jarasandha. So then all the ministers, they are in a meeting and very serious discussions are going on how to wage a battle against Jarasandha. Meantime, Narada Muni stands up and says, "My dear Lord, I have come to give you a very auspicious invitation for the Rajshri Yajna, which Yudhishthira Maharaj wants to conduct." And Krishna is very pleased. But the ministers are not so pleased. They say, "We are discussing about a war now. Is it the time for such, religious activities like Rajshri Yajna now? Now let us first have the battle." So there is a divided opinion in the court. Some people say, let Krishna go for Rajshri Yajna. Some say, let him go for the battle against Jarasandha. And the Lord resorts to Uddhava. "My dear Uddhava, you are my very confidential friend. So whatever advice you give me, I will accept. You are a great expert. You please tell me." And then Uddhava, considering all the situations, actually Uddhava knows that Lord is all-knowing. There is nothing in the world which he doesn't know. But still, after knowing that also, still Uddhava, ordered by the Lord, just for the Lord's pleasure, he gives his opinion. He speaks. He tells the Lord, "My dear Lord, I appreciate that you have to go to meet Maharaj Yudhishthir, and you should surely do that first. But Maharaj Yudhishthir cannot conduct Rajshri Yajna unless all the kings of the world agree to pay tax to him. And Jarasandha will not submit himself to Yudhishthir. So without killing him, without finishing him, there is no possibility of conducting Rajshri Yajna." So he's telling that, "So you proceed to Hastinapur, meet Yudhishthir, and then after explaining the situation to him, then we should go to Jarasandha." And then he tells, "You should not wage a war against Jarasandha. That is not a good tactic." Why? Because so many soldiers will be unnecessarily killed. Already how many times we waged the war? How many times war has happened between Jarasandha and Krishna's army, Yadus? So he said, "I think it would be more wise if Jarasandha fights with Bhima, single fight, like Malyuddha. Let them have a fight like that. That would be very wise. And don't send Bhima alone. You should go with Bhima also. That is also very important." Why? Because this whole creation is running with Brahma creating the world and Shiva destroying the world only because simply you are present in this world. They are able to do all these activities. Similarly, if you are present with Bhima Sena, I am very confident that Jarasandha can be killed without any doubt. So he gave him his opinion. And then he told, "And it won't be a wise idea for Bhima to directly go for fighting with him. Because Jarasandha may not entertain fight. Jarasandha in fact considers so many people to be useless and inferior. And he considers himself to be very great. So if we have to have a war with Jarasandha, what we have to do? It would be wise that if you all approach as Brahmanas and beg for charity from Jarasandha. And after he agrees, then you tell him that we want charity of fight with you." So all these ideas were given by whom? Uddhava. Uddhava gives all these ideas. And all the ministers and Krishna and Narada, they all appreciate Uddhava's expert advice. After that, arrangements are made. And there's a beautiful description if you read about how Krishna, Krishna along with his ministers, along with his army, the elephant soldiers, the horse soldiers, the chariots, and all the different kinds of instruments being played, and all the queens, all his 16,108 queens, all sitting in palanquins along with their children, and the palanquins guarded by soldiers with spears and with shield and sword. They're all guarded, and behind that there are so many horses and mules and asses which are carrying their luggages and tents and everything. And the whole procession is going through different areas, like you will find Rajasthan, Savira and many other places. At last it comes to Hastinapur. So Krishna is proceeding and all this is following him. And then they all come, and Yudhishthira Maharaj is so overwhelmed with love for Krishna. He receives him and embraces him, and all the symptoms of ecstatic love manifest in his body, Yudhishthira Maharaj. And he takes Krishna into the court, and Draupadi, Subhadra, they are bowing down at a distance, and they are receiving all the Krishna's queens, you know, Rukmini, Satyabhama, Mitravinda, Bhadra, and Satya, and all of them, with clothes and welcoming. So all this happens. After that, Krishna explains to him what Uddhava said. And then they go to Jarasandha. So they go to Jarasandha in the form of a Brahmana. So it's a very wonderful pastime of how Krishna conquered over Jarasandha. Actually, Jarasandha in Krishna's times was one of the most powerful kings, who had conquered practically all the other kings of the world. Was very powerful. He had a fight with Krishna also, some 17 times. And every time Krishna sent him back. But here was Jarasandha receiving Arjuna, Krishna and Bhima, all dressed as brahmanas, with extending their arms, begging in charity. So Jarasandha looked at them, and Krishna was the one who was speaking. He was introducing that we are all brahmanas and everything. And he was speaking the glory of charity. He was telling, body is perishable, but the fame is imperishable. You see, anybody who has the capacity to give, but he does not give, such a person is looked down upon by all the people of the world. He becomes very infamous. But on the other hand, one who has the capacity to give and he gives, his name will be written in golden letters in the history for all time to come. He will always be glorified. So in that way, Krishna speaks the glory of giving charity. He quotes example of Mudgala, Rantideva, Shibi Chakravarti, Harishchandra, many other kings in the past who were all very great kings offering charity. They were ready to even offer their lives in charity. So hearing all these things, Jarasandha is overwhelmed. And Jarasandha feels that, I am ready to offer anything right now, because he wants to become famous by giving everything. And then he looks at them, they don't look like brahmanas, because they seem to have very bulky shoulders, and there is also a mark of the quiver on their shoulders. The kshatriyas have a quiver on their back, and he sees the marking, and also he sees that their voices are very grave. They are not soft like a brahmana, like a rumbling cloud. Jarasandha, we are brahmanas. So they are wondering. Jarasandha was wondering, they don't look like Brahmins. So, but Jarasandha thought in his mind, is something going to happen to me, like what happened to Bali Maharaj? Because Lord came as Vamana and cheated away Bali Maharaj and took away everything. And then he thought to himself, anyway, even if they take away everything, what is the problem? Their prowess is already diminished because they are coming and extending their arms to me like beggars. They are, already they are in an inferior position. So I wouldn't mind giving anything, he thought. And then he told them, you can ask me even for my head, I can give you. I don't worry. What do you want? Ask me anything that you want. And Krishna said, no, we have only come to beg you in charity for a fight with you. And then Jarasandha gave a big laugh, derisive laugh. And Krishna said, let me tell you, we are not brahmanas. Let me introduce to you who we are. Here is the second son of Pandu, Bhimasena. And yeah, he is very famous for his mace fighting. And here is Arjuna, the third son of Pandu. And he said, as far as I am concerned, I am your old enemy. You know very well, Krishna, cousin of the Pandavas. He said, and then we all have come to beg for a fight with you. So you hope you will give us in charity. And then Jarasandha gave a big laugh and said, Krishna, I will never fight with you because you get confused in battle whenever you come to fight with me. You have become so fearful of me that you have gone into the ocean to make your palace. So it's a shame for me to fight with you. I will not fight with you. As far as Arjuna is concerned, he is junior in age to me. I will not fight with him. But Bhima, yes, he is a good combat for me. I will fight with him. Without delaying, immediately he took a club, one in his hand, one in Bhima's hand, and gave. Come on, immediately they started fight. And it is said they were fighting. The maces were hitting each other. There were lightning sparks that were coming out of the maces. And not only that, they were beating each other's body. Just like it is said, an elephant, you know, the elephants generally would uproot a sugar cane. And with that sugar cane, it would beat the other elephant on the tusk, you know, on the body, on the hands, on the legs, on the, you know, the different parts of the body they will beat. That's how the elephants will fight. In this way, by beating, they will cause so much pain to the other elephant and defeat the elephant. Similarly, they both were also beating on the shoulders, on the hands and legs, and they were very, very heavy fight was going on. In this way, Prabhupada says, the fight was so beautiful as if they were like Bharatanatyam dancers. They are fighting very beautifully. It went on for 27 days. The fight went on. They all were watching. And then Bhima came to Krishna and said, Krishna, because they were equal in strength and they were equal in their techniques also, which they knew. And they were equally powerful. So they just, nobody knew who will win. And then of course, you know, as you know, Krishna takes a stick and he breaks and shows how to kill Jarasandha. Because Jarasandha was born from two mothers, half of bodies. So Krishna tells him, he can never be killed unless you know, put your feet on his feet and tear his body into two pieces, to vertically, and then you throw the pieces away separately, and they can never combine together. And then Bhima understands this, and then he does it. And then when Bhima does like that, Jarasandha is finished. That is how he kills him. So, of course, Balram, when he comes, he becomes a little angry. But actually, Krishna can satisfy everyone by his tactics. Here, if you see the way Krishna does all these things, I told this past time elaborately, why? You see, there are many things we learn by hearing this past time of Krishna dealing in these different ways. One is that Krishna loves to have some reciprocation and exchange with his own devotees. Like he is taking advice from Uddhava. So if Krishna can take advice, why can't we take advice? Like sometimes we have difficulty taking advice from others. We want to push our own opinion only on others. If Lord is taking advice from one of his devotees, Uddhava, how much more we can become open-minded to take advice? And Lord is publicly taking advice, not even secretly taking advice. And later on declaring that idea to be his own. He's not doing that. Publicly in the court he's speaking. And he's asking Uddhava to tell advice. And also the Lord is going with all his paraphernalia and queens and everyone. Which also shows the greatness and magnificence of the Lord's opulences to the people of the world. Like, you know, Lord's opulence is not ordinary. When one hears this pastime of Krishna going from Dwarka to Hastinapur, you know, one will give up the desire to attain such opulences. It's better that you fold your palms and worship the Lord's opulence. Can anybody think of having 16,108 queens all sitting in palanquins with four guards on the four different sides carrying spears and, you know, shield and sword, and foot soldiers and elephant soldiers and all of them going on in such a big procession with opulences. So many queens and with these chief queens, Rukmini, Satyabhama and all this. five other queens. So when you read about the kind of welcome that was given to Krishna in Hastinapur, Hastinapur vasis had lit up all the streets with colorful lamps. The street, every house had a extra gate for decorating with banana, with plantain trees, and with a toran, and with flowers, and also water, rose scented water sprinkled. And there were flowers being offered from the top by the ladies when Krishna and all his paraphernalia is entering. So when we read about the Lord's opulence, it is so heartrending that one will not want to attain such opulence. Rather, one would rather be satisfied worshipping such opulence. And also, when we see the dealings of Krishna with Pandavas, like Yudhishthira Maharaj, how he received Krishna. It is said Yudhishthira Maharaj became confused. He didn't know how to welcome Krishna, because after a long time he was seeing Krishna coming. He became so much overwhelmed with love. He would embrace Krishna, and then after some time he would be talking to him. Again he would embrace him repeatedly, again and again. He became so much confused and overwhelmed with love. And tears are constantly springing from his eyes. So we come to understand the love of Krishna's devotees for Krishna, and how each of them deal with Krishna. So Lord actually delights in such pastimes with his devotees while dealing with them. And while dealing with asuras like Jarasandha, as we see, the Lord makes such a manoranjak pastime, makes it such a relishable pastime. By hearing such pastimes, our love for the Lord will increase. And also these pastimes involve many details by hearing which we can understand how the Lord protects the devotees and destroys the demons. Now, do you think Krishna had any envy or enmity with Jarasandha? Not at all. It's not that Krishna wanted to take away Jarasandha's kingdom and enjoy it himself. We can clearly see that the Lord is not envious of demons. So as soon as Jarasandha was killed, Lord called his son Sahadev. There is a Sahadev who is son of Jarasandha. He called him and told this boy that your father has done all these atrocities. All the kings are arrested. So you should release them. For such a long time they have been suffering without proper food and clothing. Release them. Then the son Sahadev goes and releases all of them. And then Krishna posted Sahadev as the next king. And he coronated him as next king. And also he told him that you should pay tax to Yudhishthira Maharaj, who will be the king of the world. And Sahadev agreed. So because Sahadev agreed to become a righteous king, Krishna was very happy to make him the king. Same thing, you find Lord Ram coronating Vibhishan as the king of Sri Lanka, isn't it? Or you find Lord Narasimhadev coronating Prahlad Maharaj as the next king, next to Hiranyakashipu, you find. Because Lord has no desire in usurping someone's kingdom. What will he do with that? After all, everything belongs to him, isn't it? But Lord wants to see that the demoniac tendencies are punished, and the demoniac culture is destroyed, and Brahminical culture is established. Why? Because that culture only can help the souls to go back home, back to Godhead. So that is Lord's plan when he is doing that. In this way, the Lord enacts the pastimes, offering protection to his devotees, like here. And that also, by doing these kind of pastimes, the Lord helps the devotees constantly remember over and over again. Like Kunti Maharani is saying, Shrinvanti Gayanti Grinanti Abhikshasha. The devotees of the Lord remember these pastimes, how Krishna protected these devotees, and they develop a staunch faith in Krishna's protection in their heart. So that will give them the inspiration to surrender to Krishna and return back to spiritual world. Imagine if Krishna does not perform these pastimes. In the beginning of Mahabharata only you hear that there were Kauravas, Pandavas, Kauravas are troubling, and Krishna takes chakra and finishes up all Kauravas. 100 Kauravas in one shot. Then who is going to be so inspired to take shelter of Krishna? There is no charm. So generally speaking, the conditioned souls derive lot of joy in performing materialistic activities in this world. Like for example, we all in our own material life, we can see, before coming to Krishna consciousness, we derive lot of delight in cooking different types of food, watching television, discussing with the family members, social issues, political issues, family related issues, correct? People derive lot of joy in such kind of मेटलिस्टिक टॉपिक्स, श्वतव्यादिनी राजेंद्र नृणाम संति सहस्रशः. He said, Shukadeva Goswami, as soon as he came, Parikshit inquired him questions. In the very beginning, he says this. We derive a lot of joy in talking about the political problems of the home. And most of the people spend their time like that. Their entire life goes off like that. But in order for us to substitute our personal matters, which are good for nothing, because they all will be submerged in the sands of time, in the time to come, because we leave this body and go to another body, another situation, and we keep changing. So the Lord also performs activities which become a wonderful subject matter for the devotees. There is also politics in Mahabharata. There is also war. But anything spoken in relation to the Lord can help the devotees to develop more attachment to Him. Like you read this pastime of Jarasandha and Bhima fighting, more people actually laugh when they hear this fight rather than get fear. They feel a lot of delight in how Krishna is so intelligent that he went for begging charity and he created this battle and he finished off Jarasandha. So by reading the tactics that the Lord applies in killing the demons and establishing dharma, so devotees' attachment to Krishna will increase more and more by that. And devotees' faith in Krishna will increase also. So ultimate goal of Krishna is to see that, Krishna wants to see that the devotees understand His love for them and get closer to Him. That is Krishna's plan. In fact, when Draupadi, you know, after all these things happened, after the battle happened and everything, one day when Krishna was in the court of Yudhishthira Maharaj, along with all the Pandavas, sharing, some talks, that time Draupadi came and she asked Krishna, "Krishna, this question always was in my mind. You know, you are the protector of your devotees and you have been protecting your devotees in so many ways, always you have protected us. But I had a doubt when I was brought in the middle of the Asat Sabha of Duryodhana. You never came to protect me immediately when I was brought in the public, such a shameful situation. You say you protect your devotees, what kind of protection you gave? You came after so much of time. You didn't come in the beginning to save me." And Krishna told her that as soon as you were brought to the court, what did you do? Think about it very carefully. He told her. He said, first when you knew that you are going to be disrobed, so immediately you looked at your two husbands, Bhima and Arjuna. Of course, you didn't turn to Yudhishthira. You know about Yudhishthira's mind. You looked at these two. So you know that Bhima is furious and Arjuna is intelligent. You saw it, both of them, and you were hoping that they will help you. But you were looking at them and they were looking at Yudhishthira. And their heads were down. And then you thought that now, even before Dushasan will disrobe me, let me seek justice from the great general like Bhishma Pitama, who is very famous for his wisdom as well as for his chivalrous nature. And he's the eldest of all the Kurus. Who can give a better judgment than him? So you were turning to him and begging for justice from him. And then when he didn't give such a justice, then you thought, at least let a Brahmana who knows the words of wisdom from the scriptures, let him speak. So then you turn to Drona. Drona is also a warrior. At the same time, he's a Brahmana. So you were seeking Brahminical intelligence that he will at least speak. So you turned and you found that none of these people could help you. Then when Dushasana started disturbing you, what did you do? You were catching your sari with your both hands. And of course, you were calling my name superficially. You were calling, but you were quite confident that you can save yourself. So I was not inspired to come, Krishna said. And then you were biting the sari with your teeth and calling for help. And then Krishna said, when you realize that you have no power in within your reach, within your hands, you are like a small sparrow in front of Dushasana, who is like an elephant, with like 10,000 elephant strength. At that time, you threw your hands to the wind and with your arms raised, you called for me. Hey Krishna, hey Gopijana Vallabha, hey Dwarakavasin. So when you call like this, then I came at that time. So Krishna told her a very valuable lesson. Those devotees who seek shelter in me very firmly with full faith, to them I offer complete protection, without a doubt. But those who are half-hearted in taking my shelter, I also give only half shelter. Ye tamam prapadyante tam stadeva bhajamyaham, as Krishna says. So all these pastimes that are given in the scriptures are given in order for us to understand how the Lord is antaryami, seated in the heart of everyone, and He only is orchestrating us, is orchestrating our enemies, is orchestrating everything that's going on in the world ultimately, and He is only making all things happen. So this firm faith is very much required for a progressive devotee, especially in the path of bhakti yoga, unlike the other paths like jnana yoga or ashtanga yoga. A devotee needs a firm faith in this fact. For example, one of the aspects of this faith is that a devotee should not worry about his food or clothing or shelter, knowing that Krishna will protect. So we serve Krishna, and when Krishna is pleased, then Krishna arranges to send everything to a devotee. Like yesterday we were having this Nitya Seva meeting. So I was telling that we have made a team of some 8 devotees. So I was telling those devotees that the duty of saintly people is to inspire the people of the world through Krishna consciousness. So we should perform, brahmacharis and sannyasis should perform their dharma, and the congregation should perform their dharma automatically. And we should, like, our dharma is what? You speak about Krishna, you chant Krishna's names, and you preach His glories, and you live a saintly life. And then, so if we do our dharma, even if others don't do their dharma, they will only suffer. And their suffering or enjoyment will be awarded by Krishna to them. Why should we worry? We don't have to worry. Whatever Krishna sends, within that we should spend. Not that, you know, you collect 5 rupees and spend 50 rupees. We should not do that. But whatever Krishna sends, we should know that the wealth which comes is also Krishna's. It is arrangement of Krishna that brings us. One of our boys was in the West. This boy actually went to the West after he became a... He was an AFA devotee, just standing 2-3 rounds. Somehow he went to the West, you know. And then we had written to him about our youth activities and everything. And one of our devotees had asked him funds for publishing some books, you know. So he said, I want to get a clarification from Radhesham Prabhu, I mean, before I send my funds. I can send a lakh or 2 rupees, 2 lakhs or 3 lakhs. They want a clarification. So he wrote to me saying that, Prabhuji, we are saying that we are all devotees, but we are asking funds from people like him, you know, who are working in the world and earning money from software jobs. Why do we need the help of Maya for Krishna? He was asking. We are all in Mayaic world, and we are enjoying, and we are collecting money and all. Why does Krishna need support from Maya? We say that Krishna is more powerful, Maya is subordinate to Krishna. Anyway, I wrote a letter to him, quoting the Ramayana. I said, Hanuman is going to Sri Lanka, why? To get Mother Sita back to Ram, isn't it? And I said, we are doing the same job, I told him. Now, those people who hold wealth, you know, beyond what they need for their sustenance, they are exactly like a tiny Ravanas, who are holding more than what they need. That is how the world is suffering, if you see. They are accumulating more than what they need. Many people say, you know, we are working hard because we want to fill up our belly. Is that what they are working for? Many people have got money for generations together, but they are going on accumulating more and more simply to expand their name and fame by subjugating other people below their feet. That is here. 2 classes of people. One is the mercantile community, which tries to gain monopoly over others, and the Kshatriya class of people who try to dominate others by their power. Both these classes of people, they like to show off to the world, to increase their name and fame. And they are not earning money for sustenance. So I told him, our duty is to get the money from them and use in Krishna's service. So we are Hanuman's representatives. So Sita is not Ravana's, Sita is never Ravana's property. Sita is always Ram's property. So I said that you are giving donation for publishing this book. This is actually Lord Ram's property. So you are like a tiny Ravana giving back to, you know, Ram, what you are stolen from Ram. So you should be in this consciousness. Don't think that you are doing a great favor to Krishna by giving. You are actually giving to Krishna what belongs to Krishna and saving yourself from becoming a Ravana. Immediately he sent 2 lakhs. He got that letter. Then said, congratulations, Prabhuji. He was very happy. Yeah. He appreciated that answer very much. He was an honest devotee. Yeah. He appreciated. So, we can understand. This kind of faith is needed that, you know, you surrender to Krishna and Krishna will do everything possible. Just like I was talking about the new temple. The new temple, of course, we did our part, you know, having meetings and making some kind of, you know. From my side, I can honestly say I did nothing practically. You know. All I did was, I didn't interfere in anyone's nice planning, you know. Actually, as we grow in seniority, if we agree to remain transparent and allow Krishna's mercy to flow without blocking it by becoming opaque, you know, that itself is good enough. You don't have to do anything, because the more you go higher, the more power you will have to choke people's activities. And to the degree we choke people's activities due to our false ego, then we will also not be transparent. And to the degree we are not transparent, to that degree, we will not allow the mercy of the parampara to flow through. This is true not only for a president, it is true even for counselors, it is true for preachers, it is true for seniors, for everyone. So, I was observing how simply by if we try our best to be transparent, so many good things will happen. This collection of 5 crore rupees which came, it's a miracle for a congregation like Pune. Them to do. So many sincere devotees came together, they planned together, and they engaged the congregation very wonderfully. And all Maharajas and devotees are all stand. So this is a proof for this verse, what you are talking today, that when Krishna wants to do great things, he will do. And Krishna makes many miraculous things happen, impossible things happen. Just like, for example, if you see Lord Ram, you know, he carried all those monkeys with him to fight, and what can the monkeys don't know how to do sword fighting or, you know, bow and arrow fighting. The only thing they know is, you know, uproot the trees and throw, take the boulders and throw. But what was the technology of Ravana? He had a very, if you see Ravana and his men, they were having a lot of mystic powers and all. They can fly in the sky, they can disappear, and they can throw, you know, big slabs of stones from the sky on the people. They could throw lances. They could throw all dirty substances from the sky. By mystic illusion, they could appear and vanish. That kind of things they could do. And the monkeys, ordinary monkeys Lord Ram had. So, in the same manner, you can compare the modern day technology. They can do great things with their advancement in science and technology. Exactly like the Asuric army of Ravana. They can do great things. But the devotee army, devotees are very simple. Devotees are quite simple. But even in the lives of devotees, Krishna can create miracles if you want. Devotees can emerge victorious if Krishna wills, as he willed in Mahabharata or in Ramayana also, we find. So, if you see Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada's life is a great miracle from a material point of view. But from a spiritual point of view, that inconceivability is resolved when you understand Krishna working through him. Like Prabhupada said, Krishna wrote all these purports. Prabhupada said, and Krishna established this movement. And how Krishna comes in front of the ship and Prabhupada gets encouragement from Krishna with all his avatars. Krishna told, don't worry, I am there with you. You proceed to America. Krishna ordered him. So in this way, we will, by developing a very firm faith, we will allow miracles to happen through us. And Krishna will do. But by developing a lack of faith, by doubting, then such a kind of doubt actually takes away the inner peace. takes away the inner stability, takes away the inner peace, and takes away the devotion to the Lord. It takes away the ability to be sheltered in Krishna's feet. So this faith is what is demanded by Krishna in many places in the scriptures. And he orchestrates all these activities in the lives of his devotees simply to help them enhance that faith. And Krishna puts them in different types of tests. Like, you know, Krishna puts them in test, and then devotees will run to the shelter of Krishna. And he only will award the shelter to them and save them from that problem. But why he does that? So that devotees will become enriched in their hearts, in their devotion. Just like I was thinking, imagine if somebody joins engineering college. You have joined first year, and they say that, you know, in our college we don't want to give any attention to anyone, you know. So we will not have any test, no examination. You just remain in the college for 4 years and we will give you a certificate at the end. Do you think anybody is going to study? Nobody will study. And 4 years, and it will be boring, and you will never become learned. You will never become wise in the subject. And after 4 years you take certificate and go to the company, you will be a muff. You can't do anything there. So in the same manner, you know, Krishna also, you may say that, you know, I met a pure devotee, you know, now I got initiated, now I am, you know, fixed up in devotion. So what is the need of any test, you may ask? Why not Krishna give me a ready-made ticket to the spiritual world? Now that you have met Prabhupada or Prabhupada's disciples, take the ticket here, go back to Godhead. So we will become a big disturbance to Krishna there. That's why Maya doesn't allow. So in order to shape us and mold us and, you know, purify us and bring us to a point where we'll become offerable to Krishna, you know, through the agency of Maya, many times Krishna sends varieties of tests to us. And all these tests will bring out all the anarthas from us, anger and pride and greed and illusion, and all kinds of things, they come out. And then in this way, thoroughly our hearts will be washed, and Krishna will make us transparent mediums. And then we become eligible to enter into the kingdom of God. So here, in this series of verses, here Arjuna is recollecting about how Bhishma, Karna, Drona, Shalya, they all had made a great military phalanx. And Arjuna is able to see that they all are more powerful than me, and I am insignificant, and I have no power to win over them. But how did I win? By Krishna's help. Jayastu Pandu Putranam Yesham Pakshe Janardana. In this way, Arjuna's respect and love and faith in Krishna is more enhanced, which is actually Krishna's purpose. And all the pastimes are directed towards, you know, increasing the intimacy with his devotees. That's why Krishna does. And to teach good lessons to the world, for all of us. You see, he says that arrangement was expert and more than adequate. But Krishna, while going forward, did all these things. Actually, although we have heard these things, many times, secretly within our heart, we don't believe in the Lord's empowerment. We tend to think that it is by my prowess or by my talent, by my expertise, that I am doing great things. So this is a great curse, this kind of thinking. So repeatedly hearing the pastimes, on one hand, on the other hand, undergoing the tests and trials where one may be defeated. Both these things jointly will bring about this realization. And that happened to Arjuna also. Arjuna heard Bhagavad Gita, that Krishna is empowering him. And later on, he emerged victorious. Victory is another kind of intoxication. When you come out victorious, success is a very dangerous intoxicant, which can make us forget Krishna very easily. But Krishna also offered some defeat to Arjuna. Like you see from the infidel covered man, Arjuna faced a defeat. And then Krishna gives him a realization that it is not your Shakti, it is my Shakti, because of which you could, you know, such a huge battle you emerged victorious, and such a small battle you were defeated. Just see. So know for sure that you have no power. Krishna gives that practical realization to the devotee. Either the devotee agrees to appreciate his insignificance by humbling himself, and if a devotee doesn't humble himself, then Krishna will give opportunities to become humble. And that opportunities will appear as tests and trials in one's life, and one may learn it a hard way. So easy way is to hear verses like this, today's verse, and to meditate on this in our lives and agree to become humble in advance. So one doesn't have to learn it a hard way. So such kind of understanding of one's insignificance and one's inability to do things, and then faith in Krishna's empowerment, these things can offer a great advancement to a devotee in developing faith in Krishna. So if you see, for example, Mara 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 Mara, he chanted Valmiki with great faith. He chanted that this holy name, we may say, what is this Mara? Which scripture says that, we may ask, isn't it? And Mara means death. Why are you asking me to chant the name of death, we may ask, isn't it? But Valmiki chanted Mara because he had firm faith in Narada. So a firm faith is demanded in the path of Bhakti Yoga. And this series of verses, they help us to develop gratitude for how the Lord is there with us at every point of time. Right from the birth to death, He is there orchestrating. If you understand the workings of the Super Soul from Bhagavad Gita, Upadrishta, Anumanta, Bharta, Bhokta, Maheshwara, the only friend who accompanies the soul always, at all times, offering opportunities, offering facilities, offering benedictions, offering mercy in different forms, in different ways, offering tests and trials, offering defeats. All these things are offered by the Super Soul to shape us and bring us to Him ultimately. So He is our Antaryami, called as the Sarvajna, or all-knowing friend in the heart. So one should learn to offer fervent prayers to the Super Soul. It's very important. Because sometimes we reveal our heart to some friend. Sometimes we feel hesitation to reveal our heart to someone, because we are not happy that others know our problems, or we are not happy that others know our deficiencies. But there is one friend to whom you can boldly reveal. Who is that? Super Soul, who is Chaitya Guru. So the Chaitya Guru's manifestation is also Diksha Guru, who gives us connection to the parampara also. So to the Lord in the heart, one should speak and one should pray to Him, offer prayers to Him, and one should learn to thank Him with gratitude, and one should have the eyes to see all these things performed by the Super Soul. The 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, there is a very vivid explanation about the activities of the Super Soul. Now here you will find in the series of verses, now Lord Krishna has ascended to the spiritual world, and Arjuna is here with the Pandavas, but he is again recollecting that Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna spoke, and he is pacifying his mind, remembering Krishna. He is fondly remembering Krishna's activities, and in that remembrance he is becoming very peacefully situated. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Yeah.